ball game.
Welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. Here are your hosts, Brooks and Drew.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. My name is Brooks Davis, joined alongside by my co-host, Drew Bonds. Drew, how you doing?
Good. I mean, hard to complain about how is that many or how many that is in a row. Four in a row for JSU. They were 2-3, feeling bad about ourselves, and now we're 6-3, bowl eligible, and we've got a huge game this Saturday night to it'll almost guarantee them into the conference title. Not quite. They're still have to take care of business against FIU and or Western if they were to beat Kennesaw. But hard to be upset with where they are, considered kind of how the start looked at times and how frustrating sometimes the offense or the defense looked. Both, you know, early on in the year sitting at 2-3, but they fell in their stride. They have started to play the way that we expect them to, albeit those road games are still tough and not a whole lot of fun to sit through. 30-27 victory against Texas El Paso on the road. We'll get into that first. But Brooks, how are you doing?
Yeah, doing good. Really excited about this Kennesaw matchup in prime time. It's a rival, both undefeated, conference championship games. Implications on the line, just so much about this matchup that sets it up to be, you know, another all-time classic with Kennesaw. And with the exception of a few blowouts here and there, we've had some classics, and this one's, like I said, sure to be one. But like you said, it's hard to complain about, winning, especially, you know, to stay undefeated in conference play and make yourself bowl eligible for the third year in a row. We'll talk about that in a little bit too, but it's just, like I said, this was another blood pressure game where, you know, it's an inferior opponent in my opinion, but still, you know, just letting them hang around. We keep waiting at least on the road for us to break through and just, you know, take care of business against, like I said, an inferior opponent. And we still just let them hang around, just have such a hard time. If the, you know, offense is playing good, then the defense slips up. The defense has a good stop, and then the offense slips up. You know, it's hard for us to get a complete game out of these road games. But nonetheless, we won. And that's the biggest deal out of them all. We won, Still undefeated in conference and bowl eligible for the third year in a row. Yes. And like I said, hard to be upset about it.
Yeah, in this conference for how evenly a lot of these teams are, and you know, we've seen Kennesaw at 2 wins last year, and I would say they look like the best team in the conference, maybe besides Jack State this year. You know, we've seen FIU smoke Western Kentucky. We've seen all kind of stuff. For as even as these teams in this league are, winning 4 in a row, being 5-0 in conference, I don't care what the road games look like. You know, a victory is a victory. So, you know, like I said, we're happy to get them however we need to. But anyway, we'll dive into it here. Caden Creel, who threw the ball pretty well, at least like, from what we watched on TV, I felt like he threw the ball well. His numbers at the end of the game weren't spectacular. 15 of 31, which is below 50%, which is not great for 181 yards and a touchdown. He did have the interception on what was a just incredible play by the UTEP defender on what was like 3rd-and-17 at that time. So it didn't make much of a difference anyway. But I did feel like he threw the ball pretty well. He also ran it 13 times for 134 yards. And really was the catalyst for the offense, both, like we said, through the air and on the ground, because Cam Cook ran it 19 times for only 127. That's still an excellent day, and he had a long of 51 yards to help out that number. But Caden Creel was the offense in this one for JSU. We'll talk about that as we go. Jahndre Johnson had the big touchdown catch on, I think, the second play JSU had the ball. I think they ran Cam Cook and probably gained a couple yards there. I just don't remember. And then they threw a long a long ball to DeAndre Johnson, and he scored from 77 yards out. Now, after that, I'm pretty sure he only had one or two more targets, and I don't think either ball was catchable. So we didn't really work the ball his way like I expected us to after his big performance against Middle. But either way, he did have one of the biggest plays the offense had all night, and that was, like you said, early in the game. Caleb Coombs had five catches. Rex Hunter had three. Franklin Barrett had a 19-yard catch. Gabe Glover had a couple of catches. Both the catches came on almost back-to-back plays, which was good to see. The freshman with catches there, and that's pretty much where the pass game stood. As far as defense goes, Max Sanders again leads a team in tackles, solo tackles, and tackles for loss. He is the best player on this defense, maybe outside of Caleb Nix and Trevor Woods, but Max Sanders continues to impress as a true freshman. Thought he had a sack to end UTEP's first drive, but they actually gave him a tackle for loss instead. I thought that was interesting, kind of a scoring change there, but it seemed to be a pass play for UTEP, and maybe a design quarterback draw that he kind of got to the backfield about the time that he was going to take off. But anyway, no sack on that play. Got a tackle for a loss instead, which, anyway, I thought was strange. And the reason is that JSU didn't have a sack all game. They had five tackles for loss as a team. Max Sanders had half of those at 2.5, but no sacks there. I kind of think they had one taken away, but that is neither here nor there. And the big play of the game, and really what the difference was early in the second quarter, Caleb Nix 92-yard pick six. It was a 14-point swing because UTEP was going, seemed like they were going to drive and go score a touchdown. At the time, it was 10-7, and JSU was ahead. But seemed like UTEP might be going to drive and take the lead. And Skylar Locklear threw a just horrible overthrow right to Caleb Nix, and he took it the distance 92 yards of the house there, which was certainly the biggest play of the game for either side. And Brooks, like you said, just letting teams stay in the game more than they need to. Like JSU's up 17-7, feeling great after the pick six. The offense didn't move the ball for the middle part of the game. So they moved it well in the first quarter, and they moved it well in the fourth quarter. But quarters two and quarters three, we just didn't move the ball very well. UTEP did move the ball pretty well during the middle part of the game, and they just stayed in it. They kept. It's the same thing we've seen on the road all year, right? JSU starts hot, 17-7, looking good, feeling good, and then I don't know if, take the foot off the gas pedal or what it is, but UTEP kind of figured them out and kept themselves in it, and if it wasn't for Garrison Ripa, a field goal under or inside a minute to play, this game might be going to overtime. But Garrison Ripa adds his third career game winner. He made all three of his field goals in that game, so he was a huge part there as well, adding 9 points. And then the last thing I do want to shout out, Connor Donaghy kicked a couple of really good punts, won a 56-yarder that backed up UTEP when we needed to also. So a complete team victory overall. But Brooks, like you said, still just kind of letting teams hang around on the road. And maybe this is just how this team wins football games on the road. And that's fine because they haven't dropped one like that yet except for the Georgia Southern fiasco with the whole first quarter issue. We're not going to get into that. But at least as conference road games go, they continue to win. And I'm not going to complain about winning. It's just maybe we'll beat FIU by 14 or 21 and feel great. But we'll see when we get there.
Yeah, I'm at the point now where looking at that last road game in Miami, if we can beat FIU by – more than a score, I'll be more than happy. And that's for the way that our road trips have been going, that's a win, or that's a little bit more than a win, just to beat an inferior opponent by more than a field goal or a touchdown, whatever it may be. I'll start with the offense first. I remember, we talked after the game and said, I thought that this was Caden Creel's probably his best game. Passing wise, he did have the one interception, but that was a freak play, an unbelievable play. Credit to UTEP, but ultimately, like you said, I think it was 3rd and 17. It was ultimately a glorified punt. but other than that, I thought game by game or yeah, game by game, he's been maturing a lot more in the passing game, you know, in the pocket. You know, he's not near as trigger happy as he was when he came in the Delaware and Southern Miss game to just take off and run every time he gets a little bit of pressure. He's a lot more patient. You know, even when he is facing pressure from either side, he's staying in the backfield a little bit longer, giving the receivers more time to develop their routes, try and get open, and if it's not there, then take off. And of course, you know, we still scrambling, still getting a bunch of chunk yards when he needs to. But I was very impressed. And you know, you look at the numbers, 15 to 31 for 181. That's a solid day. It's not just a, you know, blow you away kind of day. But I think that, you know, a big thing to take away from this too is, you know, as the season's gone on, we're getting a lot more comfortable throwing the ball. Whereas, you know, those first four or five games, you shut down our running game and that was it for the most part. You know, Wimsatt could throw a little bit here and there, and Creel came in and was, you know, still trying to get comfortable, actually, you know, moving the ball through the air. But you know, we've gone from that run first offense to a little bit more of a balanced offense. And I really like to see that. And, you know, that's, like I said, tremendous growth and development from Clint Trickin and staff. Just a great game from him. Of course, Cam Cook continues to just be an absolute bowling ball. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, we've watched over the last three or four games, these teams are, you know, really doing a much better job of doing their film study on Cam Cook and being able to zero in on him and, you know, assume that, you know, every time he's on the field, the ball's getting handed off to him. And that's more than fair to assume of him. But, you know, where we saw those, you know, first three or four games, he was just peeling off 10, 15 yards a carry. Now he's only, you know, he's getting stopped in the backfield a little bit more, or he's only getting, you know, 2, 3, 4 yards a carry. It seems like he's been slowed down a little bit. And obviously the numbers say otherwise, you know, another 127 yard game. And I know it's at least his fourth straight game. It may even be his fifth straight game with over 100 yards on the ground. And I think that, you know, that's a testament to this offensive line and to Cook himself. And that's kind of what Kelly said in his press conference. You know, I think that, you know, he said that makes him an even better running back for, you know, defenses to see him on the field, know what's going to him. And, you know, even when they do get him in the backfield some or stop him, you know, shorter than what we're used to seeing him, still being able to peel off, you know, a 51-yard carry or a 77-yard carry like he did a couple of weeks ago, you know, whatever, you know, just have those big explosive plays and keep picking up big chunks of yards and ultimately scoring touchdowns. It's just the guy's just an absolute phenom. And that's, I mean, there's a reason why, you know, he's the nation's leading rusher in rushing yards. He's cleared Emmett Johnson by almost 600 yards now. Excuse me, almost 6 yards. I read that wrong. Either way, he's still the nation's leading rusher for good reason. Defense, you know, it. Like I said, this was kind of a little bit back and forth game. Offense would be playing good. Defense would give up a score, give up big chunks of yards, whatever it may be, and then the opposite. You know, at the time watching it, I thought, you know, good Lord, this is we're, you know, back to square one with our defense. You know, letting them back to square one with our defense. And, you know, we're back to those old habits that we were having early in the season. I thought we improved upon against Delaware and Middle. And I went back and watched it today, and it really wasn't as bad as I remembered. We didn't let the running backs just run all over us, which we've been good about all year. We were able to get in the backfield and disrupt Skylar Locklear, but still, we're still having problems defending a running quarterback, and that's going to be something they're really going to have to work on for Kennesaw this week. Their guys don't, you know, just run for a ton of yards, but they're not afraid to, you know, they're not afraid to take off and get, you know, five, six, seven yards a carry, pick up that easy first down. But, you know, it was just, I don't know. It was just kind of an average game, I would say, for our defense. I would say it was a little bit of a step back because we didn't let them just eat us up over the middle like we did earlier, like they did, or like offenses were doing early on in the season, but they were still finding those plays, giving up more deep balls than what I was comfortable with. And that's another one that we're really going to have to work on this week for Kennesaw, because they love the deep pass. We'll get more into that later. But overall, you know, at the end of the day, that, you know, the last two drives, offense did what they had to do to give Garrison Ripa a chance to, you know, put us up, give us a chance to win the game, and the defense goes 4 and out. Like you said, all the big names continue to be big, you know, have significant impacts. Max Sanders being the big one. Caleb Nix earning conference defensive player of the year, or defensive player of the year, player of the week. And ultimately, like you said, Drew, ended up being the difference in the game. Walker Osteen was a little bit quiet. And Obadiah was a little bit quiet, but, you know, like I said, they were able to get in those big bodies up front. They were able to get in the backfield. They just couldn't. They just kind of let Locklear slip away too many times. And that was what really hurt us more than anything on defense, was let him, you know, extend plays and pick up those first downs with his feet when we should have gotten off. We should have, you know, backed him up even more, gotten them off the field. But, you know, overall, like we say every road game, it's hard to be upset with a road win in conference. Everybody talks about this being one of the worst conferences in the country, but top to bottom, the talent isn't, you know, may not be as good as some of the other even group of five conferences, but this is, I truly believe this is a conference that week in, week out, anybody can beat anybody. You never know, you know, us, Kennesaw, and Western seem to be separating ourselves, but then Western goes and gets embarrassed by who was it? Wasn't La Tech? Anyways, they go FIU. That's right. FIU can beat anybody. Middle plays close with a lot of teams. I know it was at a conference, but heck, Sam Houston beat Oregon State, and Oregon State dominated the entirety of the game. From a statistics standpoint, still found a way to win. So, I mean, it's just you can't take those games for granted. And I know it's easy as we get frustrated, you know, not being able to take care of business necessarily. You just got to keep finding a way to win. And that's exactly what we did. Like you said, this ended up being a team win for Jack State. We are bowl eligible for the third straight year. I was just going to touch real quick. I'm going to pull up. For those of you wanting to go ahead and start getting an idea of booking hotels and everything for our bowl trip this year, these are our current projections. Mark Slaybaugh has us going to the Salute to Veterans Bowl, the Community Bowl in Montgomery, versus Troy. And that's certainly an interesting one. Like you said, you sent out that tweet, Drew. That's the only way we'd be okay with going to Montgomery if we could play Troy. Yep. Inaugura has us going back to the Cure Bowl in Orlando to play Buffalo. That might be an interesting matchup. CBS Sports has us going back to the New Orleans Bowl, but to play James Madison. Yes. Me personally, I love the location. I don't want anything to do with James Madison. They need to get in the playoff or something. And then the Athletic has us in the Bahamas Bowl, which is not in the Bahamas this year, versus Toledo. And then Athlon has us back in the Salute to Veterans Bowl, or also has us in the Salute to Veterans Bowl versus Coastal Carolina, which, again, although it's in Montgomery, certainly an interesting matchup.
Yeah. yeah, out of all those, I think if you wanted to cherry pick, Troy and New Orleans would be maybe where I would go if I got to pick and choose and play God. But you know, Troy and Montgomery would certainly have that would set that Bulls attendance record. I just imagine. I don't know that, you know, whoever Miami of Ohio and App State that have played that game before have that much travel down to Montgomery for that. But, you know, a Troy-Jack State game in Montgomery would certainly fill the place up just about, I think. But, yeah, of those, it sounds like, you know, I think the Cure Bowl, if they win the conference, I think Buffalo's probably picked to win the MAC, so I think that's kind of where they're going there. And if they don't win the conference, it looks like maybe Montgomery or New Orleans, depending on, you know, what the rest of the schedule looks like. And the James Madison part of it all, I mean, they may not be the front runner to get the G5 spot for the playoff, but they've got to be close with, you know, Memphis dropping against UAB and that kind of thing. Like, you know, South Florida and JMU have their shot to win out and put themselves in a position to get that bid. So it'll be interesting to see as we go kind of what shapes up and that kind of thing as far as bowl spots go. But yeah, if you were to give me an option, Troy and New Orleans would probably be where I would lean. But you know, we'll kind of see as we go. Real quick before we move on to Kennesaw State stuff, the rest of the conference, a really fun week in Conference USA. To start with, Missouri State is bowl eligible, kind of. They have their sixth win of the year. They beat Liberty 21-17. They just need however many teams, I forget the number, it's on Twitter for those that are interested, but they need kind of what JSU did in 2023, where there's not enough six-win teams in the country to fill all of the bowl spots, and they will get in. Delaware, who won this week as well, might be in that same boat going forward. They don't have six wins yet, but they did beat Louisiana Tech 25-24. If you remember Delaware kicking the onside kick against Jack State, recovering it, they may have the best onside kick artist in the country because they did it again against La Tech when it really mattered. They were down, I think, 24-22, kicked an onside kick inside of 30 seconds, recovered it, and kicked a field goal at the horn to win it. I mean, incredible, if you ask me. For Delaware to get a win like that against a good team in Louisiana Tech. FIU beat Middle by several touchdowns. Kennesaw took care of business against New Mexico State on the road. I know those road trips to Las Cruces aren't fun. They get that win 24-21. They scored 17 points in the first quarter, did Kennesaw, and really let New Mexico State stay in the game. And a story, obviously, of the week in conference was Sam Houston at 0-8. Beating Oregon State in a game that they got outgained by over 250 yards. Oregon State had the ball for most of the game. I mean, you guys listening to us, just go look, if you haven't seen it yet, go look at the box score from the Sam Houston-Oregon State game and try to explain to me like I'm five how Sam Houston won that game. I know Oregon State turned it over and there was a defensive touchdown and some special team stuff and this and that. Like, that's great and wonderful, but, I mean, Oregon State outplayed them 9 ways to Sunday from a box score perspective and couldn't find a way to win. So that is great for Sam Houston, good for the conference to get a win like that. Sam Houston will not end the year winless, which is good, but pretty incredible loss for Oregon State that I don't think they could replicate if they tried with you know, the way the box score looks like. I mean, Oregon State outplayed Sam Houston. Kind of like our box score, Sam Houston looked, not to that degree. It was much greater. But like, if you looked at JSU's box score that day, we outplayed Sam Houston also. We had a lot more yards and more time of possession and this and that. And they just kind of hung around in the game. And it seems like that's what happened to Oregon State as well. It's just they didn't come out on top. So anyway, that's your recap of the conference, Brooks. If you have any quick thoughts on those games, you can give them to us.
Yeah, no, just a couple, like you said, quick thoughts. Congrats to Missouri State for becoming bowl eligible in their first year, much like we did. Now you know, like you said, now it gets really fun, you know, trying to figure out what teams you need to pull for to lose in order to become bowl eligible by technicality. I think right now the magic number is 23. I think there's 23 teams that are facing bowl ineligibility ineligibility in order for Missouri State to get first choice and or to be picked to be bowl eligible. You know what I mean. And then Delaware's in that same boat or will be. I think they ought to. It was cool for Sam Houston to get that win, but I think they'll probably come back down to earth a little bit. Delaware should take care of business against Sam Houston and get that sixth win next week. But they, you know, like just phenomenal stuff from Delaware for them to effectively end Louisiana Tech's conference championship hopes. And, you know, just really disappointing from them. You know, that was a lot of people's pick to be the surprise team in the conference. And to, you know, find themselves in a spot in the conference championship game. To start the season, it looked like it was them and everybody else. And then it's just kind of fallen off the last few games. FIU puts up a ton of points against Middle. That's why we say we'll be pretty much in the conference championship game if we beat Kennesaw. We don't, even if, you know, we take care of business, you know, we do win against Kennesaw, we don't need to overlook that FIU game because they probably should have beat us at home last year, and they very well, you know, their record's not great. What is 4-5, but they're another team that's going to be really fighting their rear ends off for bowl eligibility. And the way that game ended last year would love nothing more than to piss us off and make that Western Kentucky game even more important to end the season. Kennesaw, who we're playing next week or this week, excuse me. Like you said, they're another one. They're another one that likes to let teams hang, with the exception of Middle. Louisiana Tech. They just beat the crap out of them. They like to let teams hang around a little bit more than what they're probably comfortable with. Now, granted, you know, like us, they're finding ways to win games, but they hold on and beat Mexico State. Like you said, that's a tough road game anyways in Las Cruces, but nonetheless, Kennesaw staying undefeated in conference play and a 7-2 record. And then, yeah, the big one from the week, I'm just going to real quick go over a couple of the differences in Oregon State and Sam Houston in this game. They had 28-8 in first downs, 474-157 in total yards, 6-15 to 3-13 on, third down efficiency. Granted they were 0-3 on fourth, more than doubled rushing yards, had less penalties, and held on to the ball for 17 more minutes than over a quarter more longer than Sam Houston. But the big one was turnovers. They lost a fumble and threw two picks, and it was the rockiest rock fight that ever threw a rock in a fight. I've never seen a game like that. Just to be so dominated on one side and the what should be the lesser team, what on paper is the lesser team, find a way to win, especially on the road like that. Like I said, I know, you know, Sam Houston's been in and out of some of these games, but for, you know, a team like Oregon State, who's got a lot more money, a lot more resources, a lot more facilities, and hadn't been a terrible football program historically, to let that happen to them, just wow. You know what? Good for Sam Houston. Good for Sam Houston.
Yeah, bewildering is the word. Like you said, the yardage difference being, you know, nearly 300, and the, you know, time of possession being 17 minutes in Oregon State's favor. It's pretty incredible. Sam Houston found a way to win that game, but either way, we will move on to Kennesaw preview. It's what matters while we're here. As you guys know, Saturday night, 7 o'clock, Burgess Snowfield. Both teams sit at 5-0 in conference. And this game does not outright guarantee a team a spot in the title game, but it really, really, really almost does, if that makes sense. Like, the winner of this game is going to be 6-0, and they'll be the only unbeaten team left in conference with two games to play. This is going to be the biggest step for JSU in getting back to that title game and repeating as champions if they can go ahead and knock off Kennesaw at home this Saturday. So, by the numbers, the one thing to kind of talk about with Kennesaw State, their defense is very good. They are second in the conference in points allowed at 21.1. They are really good against the run. They are tied for, there's like four teams at 3.9 yards. They're tied for second with a bunch of teams, including Jack State, at 3.9 yards per rush. They're pretty good against the pass, only giving about 230 yards a game. I mean, this is a all-around good defense from Kennesaw. The one thing they don't do is they don't force a lot of turnovers, which is kind of strange. They're only averaging one turnover per game, so they're not forcing turnovers. They are just a all-around really good defense. So it'll be, you know, like we said, when they played Middle Tennessee State. Middle Tennessee State had a great run defense. This is going to be kind of the same look from Kennesaw. They are good against the run. JSU obviously wants to run a lot. It's going to take a balanced attack to move the ball against Kennesaw, I think. Now, Kennesaw has not played a ground attack, you know, near what JSU is going to show them. And that even includes Indiana at this point, as Indiana throws the ball a lot. But, you know, they haven't seen a ground attack quite like what JSU is going to bring to them. But either way, they have shown the ability throughout the year to be really good against the run, at least at a rate basis, at only 3.9 per carry. Is something to look for. This front seven for Kennesaw is no joke. Offensively for Kennesaw, Brooks, like you already said, they like to throw it, like to throw it deep. They scored 24 points against Mexico State last week. All three touchdowns they scored were on passes 23 yards or more. There was a 23-yard touchdown pass, a 34-yard, and then another one beyond that. They do throw it deep quite a bit. They are about the middle in yards per game through the air at 220. As far as, you know, total offense goes, again, about the middle of the pack, about 26 points per game. And they run the ball there, kind of like we said, middle of the pack there for about 150. So they're balanced as far as what they're going to show you. They will throw it deep to try to move it with Amari Odom, who will play quarterback there for Kennesaw. And that's what we saw against Mexico State as recently as last week. So, you know, the Jack State secondary that's gotten better and better and better as the year goes on is going to get tested big time here against Kennesaw, because they are going to take deep shots against secondary and try to score with a deep ball there. But, Brooks, any particular owls jump out at you, or anything that you're looking, you know, specifically for from Kennesaw, both offensively or defensively?
Name-wise, the only one that really stands out to me all right, I got two or three. Chase Belcher, their running back, he is a stud. I know, you know, they like to run with Coleman Bennett a little bit too, but Chase Belcher is a little bit more of the slippery running back, kind of like Cam Cook, all over the place. If you don't get him on the first tackle, he's going to run for another, you know, 10, 15 yards. And same thing with their two key receivers, Gabriel Bernard and Clayton Kopik, however you say his name. These are very, very fast athletes. You were going to have to play all three of them, you know, as tight as humanly possible. And that's the thing about Kennesaw that sticks out to me the most. Going back and watching some of their clips, Their biggest thing is explosive plays, both positive on offense and negative on defense. And what I mean by that is they create them on offense, but they give up way too many on defense. You know, this is a solid defense that, you know, can get in the backfield, can slow down the running game a little bit, can get to can get to the quarterback. But, you know, they kind of like us in the point in the, and Kelly even said, you know, they run a very similar scheme to us. They can get to, you know, third and eight, third and nine, but then turn around and give up a 30, you know, a 37 yard touchdown, whether it be on the ground or through the air. So third down, you know, third down explosiveness is going to have to be key for us when we find ourselves in that position. And that was one thing I forgot to mention earlier was the last few games, really all season, Clint Trickett, I don't know why, on third and nine, third and 10, even, you know, third and six and seven, I don't know why our go-to in these longer third downs seems to be, you know, a short screen, either at or behind the line of scrimmage or a draw play. You know, and like I said, everybody's assuming that when Cam Cook's on the field, the ball's going to him, and they're keying in on him. Caden Creel slips away on an option every now and then, but for the most part, I don't quite understand our third and long play calling. So that's certainly going to have to change, I think. And I'm not an X's and O's guy. I don't have analytics sheets in front of me, you know, necessarily see what Trickett sees through his eyes. But to me, we're going to have to, for, you know, facing a Kennesaw team that likes to give up these third down explosive plays, we're going to have to take advantage of it. Cause I think, you know, this, like I said, this is a solid defense and we're going to find ourselves in these situations, in and out throughout the game, all day on Saturday. And on the flip side of that coin, like I said, they love the deep ball, and we are a secondary that it's been so up and down, defending the deep pass all year. It seems like we give up probably every third pass of longer than 20 yards. It's frustrating because sometimes, you know, we'll be in deep cut, you know, in solid tight coverage and give up the play and give up the receivers, just make a good play. But then there'll be other times like, where it's either a busted coverage or, you know, like, I think it was the third touchdown that UTEP scored. You know, we had two guys back there to cover, but neither one of them quite knew where the receiver was, and they were 5 yards off of him. So, you know, there's a lot of little things that we're really going to have to tighten up against Kennesaw. Otherwise, they're going to blow us wide open. I think for the most part, we should be able to run our offense as normal. It's going to come down to those third down plays, in my opinion.
You know, almost certainly. I mean, Amari Odom, you know, quarterback for Kennesaw State. You know, to his credit, he started seven games. I know Dexter Williams played a little bit earlier on in the year, but Amari Odom leads the conference in yards per attempt, average yards per attempt, and yards per completion, and rate. Like he is on a rate basis, on a completion basis, been the best quarterback this conference has to offer. At least, you know, like you said, if you're leading the conference in yards per attempt and yards per completion, you are completing balls down the field. You're not throwing, you know, you're not running the Georgia offense from weeks one through weeks three. It's like we're scared to throw the ball past line of scrimmage. That's not what Kennesaw State is doing. They are throwing the ball deep into the secondary and having success doing so. So, like I said, secondary has been tested this year. If they play like they did against Delaware, who ran kind of a similar, you know, like to throw the ball downfield a lot, then, you know, I like DSU's chances to come out of this tight game with a win. But, you know, they're going to have to play, you know, we said against Delaware, they have to play their best game. Same thing can be said here. They're going to have to play their best game. That being said, I do like DSU to win. I almost always do. I think I've picked DSU to win on every show we've done, to include Louisville last year. There's no reason to think that JSU, for as good as they've looked at home this year, isn't going to show up and play their best game of the year and continue this conference winning streak. And also their home winning streak. For those that don't know, JSU has not lost a home game in almost two whole years. or probably has reached that point now. I mean, their last home loss was, well, I guess they lost to Coastal to start the year last year, so never mind. I was thinking Liberty from 2023, but they did lose to Coastal. But anyway, to continue the home winning streak and the conference winning streak here against Kennesaw State, it will likely be something in the 27-24 range. Like we said, Kennesaw State's defense has been really good all year long. JSU's defense has shown flashes of being really good as well. And if they play up to their capability, I think they can hold Kennesaw to under 25 points. And I think that was the magic number we started with when we played Central Florida way back when the year started. We said if our offense can score more than 25 points a game, they're going to win a lot of games. And I think the defense can kind of lean on that one more time. If they can hold Kennesaw to 25 or less, the offense can get to that number against Kennesaw State, even with how good they are against the run. DeAndre Johnson is going to have to be a factor in this game with his size and what he can do to the defense. Caden Creel is going to have to run the ball, to his capability as well to help out Cam Cook. We're going to see Christian Lando, I'm sure, as well, just to give Kennesaw as many looks as possible and keep them as honest as we can, because nothing helps Cam Cook out more than having other guys on this offense that are playmakers as well. So Brock Recksteiner and DeAndre Johnson and Caden Creel and Christian Lando and Pearson Baldwin and Harrison Hamsley's got a little bit of playing time the last couple weeks. I don't know exactly how healthy he actually is, but that group there, Caleb Coombs and Gabe Glover, I mean, you can go down the list, but the players around Cam Cook are going to have to step up so he can keep the Kennesaw State defense honest and let Cam Cook do what he does best, because this Kennesaw State run defense is really good. So if they can keep the defense honest, it'll allow Cam Cook better opportunity to move the ball on the ground. But Brooks, final thoughts there for Kennesaw. I couldn't be more excited about Saturday night. ESPNU, 7 o'clock. It's going to be, it's almost or all but sold out. It's going to be a really, really good environment. Probably the best atmosphere since they played Liberty on Wednesday night, nearly 2 years ago now. So I'm really excited about what Bird of Snow is going to look like on Saturday and hopefully come out with a huge conference victory against a bitter rival.
Yeah, this certainly has the feeling, of, it kind of going back to the FCS days, it has the feeling of, those nighttime playoff games that we had against Charleston Southern and it was in the evening, but Chattanooga and Sam Houston, and even we played Kennesaw in the playoffs a couple times. But it just has that old school, FCS callback feeling to the game, and for to see how far both these programs have come to find themselves in this position to be, contending for a Division I conference championship and a bowl game. And, Kennesaw fans can keep telling themselves that if they went out, they're making the playoffs. But I've got bad news for you. You're not. It's just the way the world works. And for those of you interested in placing a wager on it, legally, of course, spread, Vegas kind of likes this to be a coin flip game. The money's moved a little bit towards Kennesaw. The line opened at 1.5, or Kennesaw 1.5 point favorite, and now it's moved to 3.5. Anything less than anything to me, anything less than about a 4.5 point, 5.5 point spread, I don't touch. But scare money don't make money. But in the matchup predictor, Kennesaw has the very slight edge as a 51.1% favorite to win the game. So these are two very similar programs. From two very similar programs on the field wise, these are two programs that are very hungry, that are chasing, still getting better as the season goes on, chasing after, obviously, we've been there before. We've won the conference championship. We've been in these big games at this level, and won a bunch of them. And Kennesaw, you know, historically has been a really good football program, but for them to be in their second year and very similar to us last year in their second year in FBS play and, you know, wanting that conference championship, wanting that really good bowl game berth, or wanting that really good bowl game. They're already bowl eligible, but, you know, if they can win out and get to 10-2, 11-2 or something, I would imagine they get a lot better bowl than even the New Orleans or the Cura Bowl. So, you know, there's just so much at stake with this game. I like us to win just because, you know, we I don't know what it is, but we, you know, feeding off of our home energy, our home crowd energy, or just simply being more comfortable playing at home, whatever it may be, we just always seem to play so much better at home since that Liberty game. And even then, we, you know, it was the first of the season, and, you know, we got progressively better as the game went on. And one ended up being a big home win at the time. I know Liberty's fallen off a little bit, but this is certainly the biggest game of the year. No doubt. I expect a full, you know, a full Burgess Snow Field. It's going to be electric. I know there's limited seats available. I know all the club seats have sold. Most of the home side sold. Maybe a few seats left on the away side. Student section should be good the whole game. I'm very excited about this game, and I think we ought to be able to find a way to win. Like I said, something about we flip a switch when we play in front of our home crowd. If we can, I think we ought to be able to run offense as usual. Got to capitalize on the third down plays. That's the biggest thing. That's the biggest thing to me. Obviously, you know, really get Cam Cook running, really get Creel running, you know, pass enough to keep them honest. If we can get those two guys going on the ground, like you said, Drew, I would love for DeAndre Johnson to have a big game again, in this atmosphere, in this setting. But, you know, we've got some really talented receivers. Spread the ball out enough. Don't let them get too comfortable covering one guy. And then the biggest thing on defense for me, obviously, you know, limiting the deep ball. But two, if we can just, you know, kind of like last week, we did a good job of getting in the backfield, but we've got to do a better job of containing the quarterback. Because, like I said, Amari Odom, he's not going to run for, you know, 150 yards or on us or anything, I don't think, but he's not afraid to take off and run, you know, be mobile. If we can keep him contained and keep him disrupted, in some other games, you know, went back and watched some clips. That was what was the key to keeping UTEP and FIU, New Mexico State in the game, was just staying in the backfield, keeping him contained, keeping him disrupted. Cause if you give him more than about two, 3 seconds to look down the field, he's going to make a play. But I think, like I said, I think we find a way to win. This is a team that has found ways to win all throughout conference play, and I don't expect any different, especially in front of our home crowd. I think we're going to be talking about a Gamecock victory and what should be a secured spot in the conference championship game.
Yeah, I agree completely. If they can show up, play their brand of football, and come away with a victory, this is going to be already a very successful season for Coach Kelly. It's only going to be a more successful season for him if he can get this victory and, like you said, all but secure a spot in the title game. So we'll leave you guys there. One quick thing, I just want to say the word. Jack State basketball won a game by 75 points a couple days ago. Oh, my gosh. I know they're playing Reinhardt and whatever division Reinhardt's in, I don't know. I don't care. If you're playing in the backyard against your grandmother and you win by 75 points, you're doing a lot of things right. So, like we said, me and Brooks plan to do a little more basketball this year than we did last year. And a 75-point victory is a great way to start. congrats to those guys for just a huge, huge win. Coach Harper's group seems to be in mid-season form already, which is awesome. But like we said, we'll leave you guys here. We will see you guys early next week and hopefully talk about a Gamecock victory and a title game spot there for the taking.